takes birth again. Om Agyana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nam. Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Tadatisva Padanti. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, what is happening so far? This chapter is chapter number, what's the chapter number? Five. Yes, simple question. All can answer, eh? This is chapter number five. So let us see what's happening in this chapter. Yes? We have so far covered 20 verses. And today is verse number 20. Very good. You're all watching, noticing, attentive. Today is text number 21. So we are going to quickly recap what has happened so far. And then we will continue. Prajapati Daksha, he is a progenitor. What is a progenitor? Not terminator. He is a progenitor. What is a progenitor? He is entrusted or is given the duty by the Lord to increase the population. So he's got a special power. Because we can only, as a human being can only produce human beings. An animal can produce only animals, yeah? A demigod can only produce demigods. But a progenitor like Daksha can create all living entities, demigods, humans and animals as well. See, this is a power that's given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Having given this job by his father, who is Daksha's father? Original father, actually, actual father, Brahma. He asked him to increase the progeny, increase the population of this world. Because at that time, we are talking about many, many, many millions of years back. At that time, Daksha married a lady whose name was what's the name? Anyone knows the name? Panchajani. Okay? So Daksha's wife name is Panchajani. Now, through the union of Daksha and Panchajani, they produce a first batch of children. How many of them? 10,000 children. Can you imagine? How many of us in this room? Probably around 50, 60? 50? 10,000 children. Because he's got the special power. Okay? Now, the 10,000 children, they were known as very, very good. Aryasvas. Okay? We call them as, when we don't say 10,000, 10,000. We call them as Aryasvas. That means 10,000 children as a group, batch. They're known as Aryasvas. So what Daksha, they were very obedient sons, okay? So what Daksha did was, he ordered his sons to perform austerity and to get children. Because in those days, one has to perform austerity before they get a children. They produce children. Okay? That is a norm. So, having advice by his father, Daksha, all the 10,000 sons, Hariyasvas, known as Hariyasvas, they went to the west. I also came to the west, but to make money. The Hariyasvas went to the west to do austerity. In a place known as, what is the name of the place they went to? Narayana Saras. Yes, not Sarova, Saras. Okay, very good. So you get 50%. 50% of the mark. Narayana Saras. This is a very holy place. This is a meeting place of River Sindh into the sea. Okay, the ocean. So it's a very powerful place. Okay. All the saints used to go also and worship. They're a very holy place. So they went there and they performed very strict tapasya, austerity. Austerity, meditation, penances they were doing. Okay? Very vigorously. Now, Narada Muni, he came and he saw them. He said, these Hariyasvas are performing very severe austerities for a material purpose. Yeah? To produce children, to get children. But there is a higher cause, higher intelligence, ultimate goal of life. They've forgotten. And because their materialistic father, Daksha, advised them to do the austerity, they're basically wasting their time. For material purpose, they're doing so much austerity. And therefore, what he did? What did Narada Muni do? He gave them instructions. He advised them because he's a spiritual master. So he gives instructions. Now this Narada Muni, he gave instructions to the Hariyasvas in the form of an allegory. Do you know what's allegory? No. Allegory means to reveal a hidden fact or a point within a story or a statement. Understand the point? To reveal a hidden, there is a hidden story or a hidden agenda or what, or hidden subject within a story. And by in the form of allegory, you reveal it. For example, just a mundane one. If I say two families are fighting for a piece of land, you'll think, oh, it's an ordinary fight. But what it means is two countries are fighting to get some land. You know what I mean? So the allegory can be used like that. All of you clear with allegory? Allegory is to reveal a hidden meaning within a story or a statement. So Narada Muni is very expert in allegory. Where did Narada Muni use this technique of allegory? In the previous canto, Hari, I agree. Where did Narada Muni use this technique of allegory in the previous canto? Prachiniya Bari. He has used, right? Everyone forgotten the fourth canto. He said that Puranjana, living entity, he goes, he marries a lady like that, you know. Actually, he's trying to explain the situation of Prachiniya Bari in a form of allegory, talking about himself. And it took some time for him to understand. In fact, he did not understand. Where it needs high intelligence. Yes? Narada Muni is very good in that. So he used there in the fourth canto and the sixth canto also, Narada Muni is doing the same allegorical statement. But that was a story. This is a statement with 10 subject matters. we are going to see what the 10 subject matters are. Okay? You have to help me out. So Narada Muni told this 10 subject matters in a form of an allegory. To whom? Hariyasvas. 10,000 of them who are Daksha's children. Okay. Let us see what they are. Let us see our intelligence. First, Narada Muni said, I'll say 1, 2, 3, 4 like that. So first he says, you have not seen the extremities of earth. Which means that this earth is always, earth means it refers to material activities. It's a field of activity, isn't it? Earth. Everything is going on in this earth. Field of activity. So here, what it means is very, very sharp, okay? What it means is, our body is a field of activity. Where did Krishna explain this? Shit. What's the name of this chapter? Very good. Is that your heading or is it Srila Prabhupada's? The nature, enjoyer and the consciousness. Okay? Krishna explains that the body is a field of activity, Kshetra. And there are two knowers, Kshetrajna. So the body is a field of activity. Why is a field of activity? Because with this body, you can do a bad thing or a good thing. Yes? If you do good activities, karma, you'll be rewarded. If you do a bad activity, you'll be punished. So it's a field of activity. Therefore, Narada Muni said, listen, your body is a field of activity. You should know which activity you are doing in this birth. Otherwise, you are a fool. This is intelligence, yeah? Body is given, senses are given. So you should know what activities you are doing. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. Hare Krishna. Then second one, he says, there is a kingdom where only one man lives. Does it make any sense? There is only a kingdom where only one man lives. What does it mean? Any idea? Yes, 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 yes. So, there is a kingdom of God. In Goloka, Krishna is the only supreme person. Supreme person we are talking about. There are so many persons, devotees. But he is the only supreme master. That's what it means here. See, how he is connecting Narada Muni. And then the third one he says, there is a hole from which having entered, no one merges. If you go into a hole, you will not come back. He is talking about spiritual world. Once you return, see, because if you look at the today's verse, the translation says, and follow the path by which one never returns to this world. We should always follow a path which will not be binding. If you do fruitive activities, we have to come back again. So if you do spiritual activities, akarma, it is not binding to this world. And therefore, one will be liberated. And then, what's the next one? He says, there is a prostitute woman who dresses herself with attractive dresses. Even in the Puranjana story also, Narada Muni said this. Yeah, he talks about intelligence, very, very important. What does it mean here? Narada Muni is talking about the intelligence, which means the prostitute refers to unsteady intelligence. It's not steady. Sthira buddhi. One should have steady intelligence. That is sthira buddhi. If you do not have that, problem. Unsteady intelligence means problem. Why problem? Again, Narada Muni comes back to the next one. Because there is a man who is her husband. So there is a prostitute which is compared to unsteady intelligence, and there is a man who has married to this prostitute, which means we as a soul, If we listen to the unsteady intelligence, then what will happen? Our intelligence, we'll lose all our intelligence. And what will happen? Repeated cycle of birth and death. So, one's intelligence should be steady. And how do you do that? How do you make your intelligence steady? What's the process we have to do? Chanting also helps you to clear your impressions on the mind. But intelligence part? Knowledge, yes. You should have spiritual knowledge. You should read the Shastras, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Knowledge, yeah? Because knowledge is the one that discriminates between matter and spirit. Knowledge is the one that discriminates. Because mind is works by the reasoning. Sorry, mind works by instinct. The knowledge or the intelligence works by reasoning. Mind is just instinct. I want to do it, I'll go there. But intelligence is reasoning. Yes, I will not do that because I don't want to do it because it's in the Shastra. So reasoning. And then the next one. What's the next one? In that kingdom, there is a river flowing in both directions. This means that in the material world, kingdom, talking about the material world, there is two tasks. That is creation and destruction, birth and death. A living entity has got birth and death. He cannot escape. So as long as he does fruitive activities, there is birth and death. So therefore, one should do what? One should do what? Akama. Duties towards Krishna. Spiritual duties. Then what happens? He can stop that cycle of birth and death. Yeah? And the next one. A wonderful home made of 25 elements. This should ring a bell. You have heard of this many times. Yes. Cosmos. Yeah? So, the Krishna, it says that Krishna is the owner of all the 25. He is the owner of matter and spirit. And therefore, all this belongs to the Lord. And through the arrangement, the material world is functioning. 25 material elements. It's very important for the material creation. Then, a swan that vibrates various sounds. Hamsa. What it means is, Vedic literature is there, yeah, and it is coming from the Lord, yeah. So one should be a Paramahamsa to absorb only the essentials which is required to stop the cycle of birth and death. So Paramahamsa means, even though there is matter and spirit, good and bad, he will be able to just take out only the cream. So a swan means, Vedic scriptures talk about so many things, but as a Paramahamsa, we should only extract the things which will help us to stop the cycle of birth and death. So that is referred to swan, Hamsa. Then, an automatically revolving object made up of sharp razors and thunderbolts. This talks about Kala Chakra. Why it is sharp? Because it kills everyone. Time, it kills everyone. And then finally, he says, how one should defy one's father. One should not defy one's father. Yeah? One should not defy. That means one should not disobey one's father. The verse number 20 ends with this. One should not disobey one's father. So we will start from there. Now, imagine when we were talking about this 10 subject points, about these points of allegory, did we understand clearly in the first instance? Did we understand it? I did not understand it. I have to refer through the notes of Srila Prabhupada's purport and then try to understand. It's not easy to understand an allegory. But Hariyasvas, how intelligent they are to understand this immediately. They understood it straight away. How could they understand it straight away? What's the reason? We have got a few reasons there, right? Now, naturally, the Hariyas were, they had the natural intelligence. In case of us, right, we have to borrow our intelligence from Google, isn't it? If you don't know anything, what will you do? Google. Or we have to refer to someone else. Or we have to have a group study. All these things we should have. But they had a natural intelligence where they could understand. One. And two, the 10,000 of them, they had the same opinion. Eka Chetasaha. It is said in the translation, in the verse, Hariyasva Eka Chetasaha. They were of the same opinion. Then imagine this room, about 80 people are there roughly, okay? 80 of us have the same opinion, then we don't have any problems. But do we have that opinion? No. Why is that? Why Hariyasvas, there were 10,000 of them, they had the same opinion. But whereas we have God, there are only less than 80 people. We don't have the same opinion. We have got difference in opinion. Why is that? Yes, one of the reasons is Kali Yuga. Because the mind is always disturbed. And two, these Hariyasvas were very highly elevated. Very obedient sons. It is said that they had a very good character and mentality, you know. Very good character. See, character is very important. And they've been brought into that character. But in Kali Yuga, what character have you got? A person does not have any character. So, therefore, the difference of opinion will come. And when the father ordered them to increase the population, they did not refuse or question the father. The father ordered them, go there and do the austerity and create the progeny. They left. They did not question him. And the third one is, when Narada Muni gave them higher intelligence. What is higher intelligence? Spiritual knowledge. Or when a knowledge comes from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then this can be higher intelligence. Everything else is lower. Or inferior intelligence. Material intelligence is inferior. Spiritual intelligence is superior because it is coming from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. When Narada Muni gave the spiritual instruction in the form of higher intelligence, they accepted it. Because, why did they accept it? Because they had, as we discussed, sthira buddhi. Steady intelligence is very important for spiritual life. As long as one does not have sthira buddhi, steady intelligence, very difficult to progress. Yeah? Otherwise it will be compared to a prostitute who keeps on changing the dress. Because today you like this, today I like a big house, tomorrow I want a big car, day after I want a big business. It keeps on changing. Steady intelligence, right? Sthira buddhi. Okay. And the other reason also was, very important reason is, they were very simple-hearted. A Vaishnava is a simple-hearted. Yeah, simplicity. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Okay. So, now I'm going to ask you a question. Question time. Why the Aryasvas did not follow their father ultimately? Did you understand the question? Okay, I'll tell you. Initially, Daksha's sons, Aryasvas, when the father ordered them to go to a place, holy place, and do the austerity, they listened. They did not say. They did not question the father. They went and they were performing severe austerities. Then Narada Muni was thinking, why these people are wasting their time for material purposes? Why can't they give them higher intelligence? So Narada Muni gave higher intelligence. Yeah? And they accepted, firmly convinced, they left, they never returned. Okay? So my question is, in one sense, the Hariyasvas, yeah, they did not follow the father, material father, Daksha. Why? It apparently looked as if they were following the father, but they left. At the end of the day, they did not do the progeny. They left, isn't it? Why? What's the reason? Yes, correct. Yes, good. Little bit more. Very good. I just give you a hint. The hint is in the previous verse. Verse number 20. That's also I'm giving you. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, they realize basically, yeah. Yeah, that's also good. But the hint is in verse number 20. Yes, spiritual life, you should need faith. Very important. Shraddha. Everything depends on faith. Yes, correct. But more. All answers are correct. But I'm looking for a particular answer. I've given the hint also. Anyway, okay. We'll break the ice. Verse number 20. The previous verse. Srila Prabhupada as well as Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. What do they say? They say, real father is the Shastras and not the mundane father. If one follows the Shastras, then one is following the real father. And therefore, the answer is, in any instructions by the material father to engage the sons in the material activities are not considered as a real knowledge, and therefore one need not have to follow. Questions can be, you can park the questions. We will ask them if it is okay with you, yeah? Because we are having in a particular thoughts, you know? I'll definitely take your questions. But is it pertaining to that immediately to this topic we're talking about, is it?
Gravas is where if you do your gravas properly, that's also a spiritual path. Correct.
You cannot go out of the home, go in the jungle, and then not do your duties. If you're doing your duties properly, and then doing your duties 100%, then you get moksha in the end, isn't it?
I'll give you a very short answer. We'll talk later, okay? Now, when you said family life, the Shastra describes two lines, okay? One is Grahastha and the other one is Grahamedhi. The Shastra is not against Grahasthas. Grahasthas are the one who follow the Shastra's injunction as designed by the Supreme Lord. But Grahamedhi is a problem. As long as you follow the Shastras and become a Grahastha, no problem. But Grahamedhi means using everything for your own pleasure and creating. That is known as Grahamedhi. That is a problem. You understand the point? So if you see, all the acharyas, you know, some of the Bhaktivinoda Thakur was our previous acharya, he was a Grahastha. Yes, he had about 10 children, I think. Yes? Yeah. You, so as long as you follow Grahastha ashram, that is okay. But Grahamedhi means I am the center. In the Grahamedhi, the simple logic is, husband and wife is there. Husband thinks he is a superior. The wife also thinks she is a superior. Then how can there be not a problem? But in the Grahastha, Krishna is in the center. The husband thinks Krishna is in the center. The wife thinks Krishna is in the center. And therefore, there is no problem. Yeah? In short. But we'll discuss that later. Yeah? Yeah, so understood that? So the instructions of the father to engage the sons in materialistic activities are not considered the instructions of a real father. Therefore, if a son follows Shastra, he is following the real father. So that is the conclusion. Okay. Then, now, interesting. Okay? I know that you were a little bit bored. Okay. So what we do is, we will run a parallel between two characters in Srimad Bhagavatam, okay? One is Priyavarta, and the other one is Hariyasvas, and see, compare and contrast, so that we understand better. Because both these characters are coming in Srimad Bhagavatam, okay? It's not that, we are going out of that. It is inside Srimad Bhagavatam. Both these characters. But given the situation, how did they act? It's very important for us, yeah? Everyone will be having different situations. But how we act in a particular situation is very important as a devotee, okay? So the first one is Priyavarta, and the second one is Hariyasvas. All of you know the background of Hariyasvas because it's been going on, yeah? They listen to the father. They went to austerity to perform, to beget children. Narada Muni saw, he advised higher intelligence. They accepted and they went back and they said, bye-bye, dad. They're gone. Priyavarta is a little bit different. He is a son of, see, Hariyasvas is a son of Daksha, who is a progenitor, who is also son of Brahma. Swayambhuva Manu is also son of Brahma. And his son is Priyavarta, elder son. Okay? Now, Priyavarta, what happened was, Swayambhuva Manu, the first Manu, who is also son of Brahma, had two sons, Priyavarta and the other one, Uttanapada. Okay? Am I right? Correct. Okay. Now, Priyavarta naturally is a renunciate. He's not attached. He doesn't want to come to Australia and earn dollars. Naturally, he's a renunciate. Very happy with whatever he has and chant. So, his spiritual master is Narada Muni. So, he went to a holy place and he was peacefully doing austerities because he doesn't want to get entangled. What happened? At one point, Swayambhuva Manu want to retire. Okay? He said, okay, I want all my kingdom to be given to Priyavarta and I can retire. It's okay. When, listen to this point, when Swayambhuva Manu, the father of Priyavarta, when he went and asked Priyavarta that, you know, that I want you to become a family man, Gragastha, he said no. He refused his father. Contrast. When you come to Ariyasvas, the father said, hey Ariyasvas, all of you, 10,000 of you, you should, I'm ordering you to go and do the austerity and to get children. They said, yes dad, we will go. They left. But Priyavarta, what did he say? I'm sorry. I don't want to listen to you. Already I'm doing a higher purpose, ultimate goal of life. I don't want to entangle. I don't want to do it. Then what happened? According to his father, he was a little bit disobedient, right? He was not obedient. Because he's not taking the order, my order. Swayambhuva Manu, not taking. So what he has to do? He has to go to his boss. Guru's guru. Who is that? Priyavarta guru is Narada Muni. Who is Narada Muni's guru? Yes. Lord Brahma. So he has to pull the strings. So he requested, because his father himself, you know, his grandfather. So he went to Lord Brahma and Brahma has to come down to convince Priyavarta. What did he say? Hey, Priyavarta, don't worry. You are renounced. Even if you take up a family life, still you will not be bound. As long as you continue your austerities, your Krishna consciousness, it will not bind you. Continue Krishna consciousness and become a family man. Listen to your dad. And become a family man. Priyavarta said yes. And he did it. But, okay. So apparently what I was trying to say is, see, note these two characters, okay? First, Priyavarta, it apparently looked that he's not going to follow his dad. But later on, he was convinced, he became a Gragastha, he produced children, and then he went back to Godhead. One scenario. Here, Ariyasva, it looked as if they were trying to obey the dad, but actually they did not obey. They did not produce any children. But in the case of Priyavarta, he did not want to produce children, but he was made to produce children. But Ariyasva said, I am going to produce children. They did not produce children. See, look at the contrast. Different scenario how they acted. But can you say that Priyavarta is the best and Ariyasva is not good? Or Ariyasva is best and Priyavarta is not good? What can you say? Who is better and who is superior? Who is superior? Priyavarta is superior. So Ariyasva is inferior, is it? No, I'm just asking. You know why? Both are the same. Why? How do you say? Because the end point is both of them went to back to Godhead. Okay. Priyavarta, his steps was, Priyavarta renounced family man, renounced, back to Godhead. Four steps basically. No, three steps, right? First step was very renunciate. Then he became a family man. Again he had to detach. He was renounced and then went to back to Godhead. But Harias was renounced, back to Godhead. They eliminated two steps. So, the point is, whether you take one birth or two birth doesn't matter. The goal is back to Godhead. That is important. Both of them returned on the same life. But Priyavarta a little bit of detouring. But at the end he succeeded because he was assured by Lord Brahma. But Ariyasva did not want to take any chance. Straight away back to Godhead. Straight away take the flight. Got the point? So it based on what our scenario is. It doesn't mean that Priyavarta is bad because he got married. Ariyasva is bad because they did not listen to the father. It's no. As long as what we take away today is, as long as we listen to the instructions of Shastra, which is the real father, and you return back to Godhead, that is what is it. Does not matter how you do it. Whether you do it as a brahmachari, vanaprastha, grahastha or sannyasi, does not matter. It's a varna and ashram. Different stages. It does not matter. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all of you should practice bhakti. Varna and ashram are not considered important for bhakti. It's a tool. Okay. So, having discussed this, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about initiation. Okay. Very, very important step in our institution. ISKCON. Very important. So, what we do, please be attentive for next 15 more minutes only. We are going to extract references from a couple of literatures and to see the importance of initiation. Yes? What acharyas are saying, what our scriptures are saying, you know, about initiation, so that we know. Okay. Chaitanya Charitamrita 4.192. Who knows this verse? Antya Leela 4.192. Very good one. Please listen. I like Chaitanya Charitamrita in the sense, not that I am very, you know, a pakka devotee or something, but the rhyming is like a song. Very good. You know, it has got the rhymes, you know, what you call that, how do you say? Meter rhyming is very good. So, Diksha Kale Bhakta Kare Atma Samarpana Say Kale Krishna Tare Kare Atma Sama. Yeah? I will read once again. Diksha Kale Bhakta Kare Atma Samarpana Say Kale Krishna Tare Kare Atma Sama. Atma Sama. The meaning is, at the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders onto the service of Lord Krishna, Krishna accepts him as good as himself. So, one word, what is the meaning of this? Two sentence, one sentence, what is the meaning in one word? Sorry? Yeah, everything is correct. But the meaning is, Krishna recognizes himself as good as himself, if you take initiation. That means, you know, Krishna is completely spiritual. That means he puts you onto the spiritual platform. See, you're no longer considered material. Do you consider Krishna's material? Anything, any form of Krishna, any objects, any paraphernalia of Krishna's material? No. In the same way, he considers yourself, when you take initiation, as good as himself. That is, you become spiritual. See, the power. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. Then, to this effect, Sanatana Goswami, in Hari Bhakti Vilasa, 2.12. What does he say? I agree with this. Very good verse. I think anyone knows this? Hari Vilasa 2.12. Yata kanchanatam yati kamsyan rasa vidyanata tata diksha vidyanena dvajatam jayate nirman. I read once again. Yata kanchanatam yati kamsyan rasa vidyanata tata diksha vidyanena dvijatam jayate nirnam. Dvija means twice born. So the meaning is, as a bell metal is turned into gold when mixed with mercury in a chemical process, so one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a brahmana. Yeah, I read once again. As a bell metal is turned to gold when mixed with mercury in a chemical process. So one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a Brahmin. Sanatana Goswami is saying, one of the previous acharya. Now, in this connection, I want to just distinguish one point. There is, it's given again, Hari Bhakti Vilasa, that there is a difference between Smartha process and Goswami process. This process is given by Sanatana Goswami, which is a Goswami process. So what is a Smartha process? According to the Smartha process, one is accepted as a Brahmana when one is born in a Brahmana family only. According to Goswami process, Hari Bhakta Vilasa and Narada Pancharatrika, according to Narada Muni Pancharatrika, one can become a Brahmana if he properly initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. We want to question Sanatana Goswami. This is the power of the disciplic succession. It is connected by a chain. The moment you take initiation from a bona fide sampradaya and whose guru is in succession, disciplic succession, then what happens? It is recognized by Krishna and you are become a Brahmana straight away. Not by birth. By guna and karma. Then, this is also added or referenced by Sukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18. Now, all of you please listen, okay? We are going to talk about different nationalities here. Okay. Okay, what the verse says is, Kirata means there is a province, there is a particular place in Bharata. That is a particular class of people. We are talking about how different classes of people will be liberated, okay? Kirata means one process, one people from old Bharata. Then Huna, they are all different classes of people. Huna means, this is Srila Prabhupada's purport from 2.4.18. Huna means part of Germany and Russia. They are all, according to Srila Prabhupada, lower classes of people. Okay? They are known as this. Then, Andhra, a province of South India. Srila Prabhupada says that, Andhra. Luckily, he did not say Dravida. Anyway, Pulinda. Pulinda means Greeks. Then, Pulkasha, he says another province, he did not mention. Then, Abdira. Part of old Sindhu, Pakistan people, Abdira. And then Sumbaha, Kanaka province. And then Yavanaha means Turkish people. Then Kasha, Mongolian. All these races and even others addicted to sinful activities can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to their supreme power. See, the association of devotees also mentioned. All these classes of people, they are classified as sinful, but we cannot say this. We are just discussing this point as per the purport. All these lower classes of people can be purified simply by the association of devotees. This is the power of a devotee association, a disciplic succession given by our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. How powerful is this association? And then, to add another reference also, for latecomers, we are pulling out a lot of references from various scriptures to prove how the process of initiation is so powerful. Initiation cannot be underestimated. How powerful is that? So that's what we're saying. Now in Padma Purana, the very good verse, some of you may know that. Sampradaya vihinehi mantrastu nishpala mata. That means any mantra that does not come from the disciplic succession is considered as fruitless. Does not bear any, that's useless basically. So any mantra should be connected to the disciplic succession, parampara. And there are four paramparas, all of you know this, right? What are the four paramparas? Disciplic succession, which is coming from? Rudra, Shri, Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya, and four Kumaras, four sampradayas. So anything which is outside of these four paramparas are not considered authentic, according to Padma Purana. Okay. So the meaning is that if one wants to advance in spirituality, then one must receive his mantras from one of the four bona fide sampradayas. Otherwise, he will never advance in spirituality. And finally, we will end here with one more verse, which is Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Most of you know this. Akama sarvakama va mokshakama udarete tivrena bhakti yogena yajita purisham param. A person who's got a broader intelligence, higher intelligence, whether he has got full of material desire, no material desire, or desire for liberation, he must approach Krishna. Doesn't matter what your position is regarding Varna and Ashram. Yeah? Approach Krishna and all your problems will be solved. So that is the conclusion. Yes? Alright. So we will stop here. So if there is any quick questions or comments, thoughts, realization. Mother, you had that question, no? Are you okay?
Those from lower birth, can they become spiritual masters also?
Yes.
By this process.
Namacharya, Haridas Thakur, yeah? So, yeah, anyone can. Because that's the power of holy name. See, the name Rama and Krishna, they're not only holy names, they're mantra by itself. Yeah? Rama and Krishna. Hare. They're powerful mantra by itself. It is like a package. Therefore, clear. Yes, you can become. Now I'm a little bit scared. Because she's up. Yeah. You should give mic, because what happens is, when I listen to the Bhagavatam class, I don't get the questions. Please, Prabhu. Because I just know, someone is asking some questions, you know, and vaguely we get to know, and then the answer, we get the answer. So probably if you give a, we can relate and people can also. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. So we see in this chapter that so Narad Muni, he's helping the Hariyashvas, which is making Krishna pleased. And then on the other side we see Daksha getting upset because he's preaching to the Hariyashvas not to make progeny. So like, how is that going to make Krishna pleased if one side is happy and one side is not happy?
What's the next part? The second part I did not understand. How?
So like, he's making the Hariyashvas happy by telling them to just perform austerities and then not to create progeny. But then on the other side we see Daksha, he told the Hariyashvas to create progeny, but then they're not listening, like they're not obeying him. So like, how is that making Krishna pleased?
Krishna being pleased?
Yeah.
We mentioned in verse 20 that the Shastra is a real father. Okay? Now, if we also discuss that, if the father is allowing his children to engage in materialistic activities, then they are not considered the instructions of a father. The instructions of the real father is Shastra. And therefore, Daksha's approach is materialistic. He's not acting as a real father. A real father is the one who will engage his children in the spiritual activities. Yeah? You know what I mean? So I'm rephrasing that. Okay, any father who engages his children in materialistic activities is not considered as a real father, and therefore their instruction is not valid. In short. That is what we discussed, yeah? So Shastras, you know, see, it's very important that why we have to follow Shastra, because it says, it refers to Shastra, right? Now, we know the Supreme Lord only through the Shastras. Yes? And therefore, by listening or by adhering to the Shastra, we are pleasing the Supreme Lord. It is not like pleasing directly. But if we follow something in the Shastra, for example, you know, it says there are four prohibited activities are there. No meat eating, intoxication, like that. So if we follow, that is in the Shastras. So if we follow, then Krishna will be pleased. Because it's a step towards Krishna consciousness. Yeah? But there is, directly you can please the Lord by chanting. Indirectly also you can please by following, being in the mode of goodness, by picking up activities which is in the Shastras, not against the Shastras. Because after all, if you really see the description or the definition of a, what is the definition of a devotee? He's the one who follows scriptures, right? Shastras, like that. So a devotee, if he follows a Shastra, then he'll be pleasing the Supreme Lord. Yeah. So actually, in one sense you can say, I don't know if I can use a comment, that the children please the, that the Hariyasvas please the Lord. But I don't know if Daksha please the Supreme Lord. Yeah, it's a question to answer. We don't know. Because he's, see, what happened was, first of all, he was not happy and he again cursed Narada Muni, which I don't think Krishna will be very happy, cursing devotees. Yeah? So I don't know if Daksha will be, if the Supreme Lord is pleased with Daksha's action. But definitely they're pleased with Hariyasvas because they went back to God. Is that okay? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions? Or? Okay. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. Nithai Gaura Premanandi. Guru Mahārāj.